Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Well, it is a new year. What year is this anyway? 2015? Is that what it is? So let's go to the Lord in prayer as the junior church gets set. And let us ask God to give us His Holy Spirit to help us understand His Word today. Heavenly Father, we come before You with humility, and we come before You asking for Your assistance in comprehending and understanding Your will. Lord, left to our own devices, we will never fully comprehend who You are and what You are. And so, Lord, we need the assistance of Your Spirit. We need it to communicate, and we need it to comprehend and hear what Your Spirit is saying to the church. So, Lord, give us ears to hear. Let me ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The verse of Scripture the Lord laid on my heart was Jeremiah 29, verse 11. How many people know what Jeremiah 29, 11 says? It's a very popular scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You all read that before someplace? On a coffee mug? Maybe some tea towels? Usually when we see this verse of Scripture, very positive, talking about God desiring our welfare, desiring to give us a future and hope. But it's oftentimes taken out of context. So this morning I'd like to look at it in context, because I think the deeper and more profound meaning is found when these words were actually spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. So why don't you turn to Jeremiah? We're not going to have anything up on the screen here today, so you're going to have to follow along. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 27 to begin with, as we look at some of these verses in context. And I want to talk about anticipating a great year. And by anticipating a great year, here's what you need to anticipate. You need to anticipate having God's wisdom, God's revelation, God's prosperity, God's peace, God's sovereignty, God's restoration. And finally, you need to anticipate having a surrendered heart. God has a plan. Do you all know that? And sometimes His plan is very different from ours. And in order to comprehend His plan, you need to have clarity. And the only way you get clarity is by spending time with God and asking Him for wisdom. So let me give you the context of these verses that I laid out here in Jeremiah 29. The people of God are taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Not a very nice group of people, led by their king Nebuchadnezzar. He destroys the temple. He takes all the furniture out. They take it on a long journey to Babylon. And everyone is concerned, because this is not going to end well. And so they start praying to the Lord and asking, you know, what they should do. And there's two schools of thought. One coming from the prophet Jeremiah, who is saying, this is God's will that you go into captivity. The other is coming from some other prophets who are saying, it's not God's will, and we really should fight against it and resist it. So Jeremiah is instructed by the Lord to gather all the kings from all the nations together, and in one place he makes a declaration. And here it is. This is Jeremiah chapter 27, verse number 8. And here's what Jeremiah says, prophesying by the Lord, it is I, by my great power and my stretched arm, that have made the earth with all men and animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever seems right to me. Now I have given all these lands unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. I have given him all the beasts of the fields to serve him. All the nations shall serve him, and his sons and his grandsons, until the time of his own land comes, and many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. Very interesting how he puts that. He says, this is the time of Nebuchadnezzar. This is the time of the Babylonian Empire. He goes on to say, but if any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, I will put its neck under a yoke
of the king of Babylon, and I will punish that nation with sword, famine, pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets and your diviners and dreamers and fortune tellers and sorcerers who are saying to you. Again, he is stating this is God's will. God sovereignly rules over all the kingdoms of the earth, and God has decided that Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon is going to be your new master. Now, this is the equivalent of the most wicked person you can think of suing you, taking your house, taking all your land, taking your car, taking all of the money in your bank account, and you pray and say, God, what's happened? And God tells you, this is my will. That's hard. Because what is your natural tendency when somebody takes everything you have? Tell me what it is. Fight. Fight. We're not going to let them do this. We're not going to get away with this. We're going to fight. And it's always the human reaction in us that when things are being taken from us, things are being stripped away, that we want to fight. That was the word that was coming from other prophets. And let me give you one guy, Hananiah, and this is found in verse 28. He has his own little meeting. He calls all the kings of Israel together and all the elders rather than one king. And here's what he says, and he brings Jeremiah along, and he says, thus says the Lord God, this is found in Jeremiah 28, verse 2, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has took away from this place and carried on to Babylon. What is he saying? He's saying Jeremiah's wrong. He said, I'll tell you the real word of the Lord. This whole Babylonian thing's only last 2 years. Jeremiah does something very interesting because Jeremiah is there when he's saying this to the people. And here's what he says. This is found later on in the verse. This is verse 6, I think. He says, Amen! Amen! Hananiah, may the Lord do so. May the Lord make his word that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear me now. See, the reason why Hananiah felt so confident is his dad was a prophet. He thought he was a prophet. And he thought that since he was a prophet, his word was as good as Jeremiah's. And here's what he said. Hear ye now. I speak this in the hearing of all people. The prophets who preceded you and preceded me in ancient times, they prophesied war and famine and pestilence against the countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophets who prophesied peace, when the word of the prophets came to pass, then you shall know that the Lord truly has sent the prophet. What he's saying is, Hananiah, you ain't no prophet. My track record speaks for itself. I've heard the Lord. I've spoken the word. 70 years of captivity. That's the word. That's the way it's going to unfold. Nothing you have said has ever come to pass. Bad track record. I don't care what your dad did. I'm telling you what the truth is. So what does Hananiah do? Look at this. This is verse 10 of 28. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bar from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people saying, thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, from the necks of all nations within 2 years. Remember, Jeremiah is wearing this yoke. He's saying, I'm going to wear this yoke as a symbol to all of you that you're going into captivity to the Babylonians. And here this prophet takes that yoke off of Jeremiah, breaks it and says, Jeremiah, 2 years. This is quite a show, isn't it? This is quite a fight. Two prophets head to head. So what would you do if somebody did that to you, embarrassed you in front of all those people? The Bible says that Jeremiah walks away. All right, I'm going to walk away. It's good advice, by the way. Somebody has a confrontation with you, challenges you publicly, you might want to respond in anger. Jeremiah doesn't. Here's what it says. This is the following verse. Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Where did he go? He went to the Lord. And he says, okay, Lord, tell me a little bit about Hananiah. What should I say to him? And here's what God says.
Go tell Hananiah, this is verse 13, go tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, you have broken a wooden bar, but I will put in its place bars of iron. So verse 15, this is a private meeting. Jeremiah privately goes to Hananiah, and he says those words, obviously, but then he says something else, and this is found in verse 15. Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. You know it. I know it. But the people don't know it. So here's what's going to happen. The Lord has not sent you. You have made the people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because of the utter rebellion against the Lord. And in that same year, the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. How many people know you don't mess with God's anointed prophetic ministry when it's really of the Lord? And this is always the case. I know a lot of people abuse these types of scriptures, and I'm not here to abuse them, because the main thrust of my message is not really about Jeremiah and Hananiah. It's really about the fact that God will give you clarity and wisdom by removing people that are bringing in deception. See, God cared a lot for the people, and he knew that these people, Hananiah and various others, were trying to lead the people astray. He had to remove him. And let me just say this. In the body of Christ, I've seen this over and over again. When some people get certain stature and they start leading people away from the Lord through bad doctrine or various other different strange teachings, God removes them. And he does it probably more out of love and mercy, but he doesn't want his people to be deceived. So expect God's wisdom in the new year, and expect him to remove people that are bringing deception to you, because he does that. But also expect this. Expect God to give you a higher revelation. Because let me tell you, the higher revelation, which the people needed to know, was that God was sending them into captivity. Look at this. This is verse number 4 of 29. This is a letter that Jeremiah is writing to those people who have already submitted, who have already gone into captivity to the Babylonians. They know it's going to be a long haul, and so Jeremiah feels led of the Lord to tell them again the message he has had from the beginning. Here it is, verse 4 of 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. What is God saying? I have sent you into exile. I am the one who has led you from Jerusalem to Babylonian, the Babylonian Empire. Anticipate higher revelation from God to help you deal with uncomfortable circumstances. Because again, God is one of those entities that it's hard to figure out. And a lot of times we look at the situation and we say, this is bad, I got to get out of it. And God says, no, it's not. It's actually my will that it happens. The greatest thing I could ever teach, I think, as a pastor, and I think any teacher can teach people, is that God is sovereign. God is in control of all of the affairs of mankind. You don't lose a car. You don't lose a house. You don't lose your health. You don't lose lands. You don't lose positions. You don't lose anything without God first giving his approval. This is hard to comprehend. Remember Job. Job lost everything. Did that come as some sort of bad stroke of luck? No, that came through the hands of God. Now, let me just tell you, elevated thinking will say everything that happens in your life must pass through the hands of God, whether they're good things or bad things, whether it's Babylonian captivity or whether it's a blessing. God has to give his approval first. God is sovereign and in control. But you need a higher revelation in order to receive that. So expect wisdom and expect revelation, but then also expect prosperity, because here's what's happening. Even though they're going into captivity, even though they don't like it, here's what God says to them. And this is chapter 29 and verse 5. Here's what he says to them. Okay, you're going into captivity. But listen, build houses, live in them. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives and sons and daughters. Take wives and sons to be given in marriage. He says, bear sons and daughters. And then he says, it's interesting. He says, multiply, therefore, and do not decrease. See, even though the reason they're going into captivity is because of their sin and because of their rebellion, and God's sending them there for that reason, God is also saying to them, it's not that bad. I don't care what your circumstances are right now, it's not as bad as it could be. And a lot of times what you need to do when situations start going south is you need to count your blessings. You need to look at your life and say, wait a second, I still got a house. At least most of us do. I can still eat food. I can still go out and get married if I want to, or my sons and daughters can have grandkids, and life is really not that bad. But here's the interesting thing you need to know. No matter what your situation is in life, once you get into obedience to God, God says, I'm going to make it as good as I can possibly make it. Blessings can come in difficult circumstances, and here God says, listen, it's not that bad. Enjoy your life. Plant a garden. Have some kids. Enjoy it. That's great advice. Anticipate prosperity no matter what situation you find yourself. Anticipate God saying, don't diminish, but flourish. Number four, anticipate having peace wherever you go. See, a lot of times we feel in conflict. We feel like we're at war. And the Babylonians were not nice people. And so even though the Israelites are going into captivity, they could have just felt this is out and out war. But here's what God says, verse 7. He says, I want you to seek the welfare of that city. That is to say, Babylon. I want you to seek the welfare of Babylon where I've sent you in exile. I want you to pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. For its welfare, you will find your welfare. Yes, pray for your enemies. You owe them one thing. You know what you owe every man? Love. I don't care if they're your enemies. I don't care if they're your oppressors. You owe them love. Here he says, actively seek their prosperity. Actively seek that they do very, very well. Actively pray to God that God would bless them. See, you don't have to be at war with people. That's your choice. You don't have to be at war with your adversaries. You can pray for them. Life is full of disappointments. Your boss may pass over you for a promotion. Your neighbors may play music really loud and disturb your peace. Your friends may turn their backs on you. Your family members may not speak to you. And yes, political parties can ruin America. But at those times when you're thinking, life stinks and all these people are against me, remember this. It's not so much important whatever the trial it is you're having, but how you respond to the trial is everything. What did God want these people to do was the question. Grumble, complain, fight against their enemies? No, here's what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to accept their captivity as part of God's plan for their life, and he wanted them to bring down heaven in the midst of a pagan land. I got news for you. Here's a news flash. You're not from here. You're not from here. Where are you from? Heaven. You're visiting. You're an ambassador. The people that don't know the Lord are natives. They're native to this land. What I see in the church many times is we become like the natives. We go into tribal warfare because they're in tribal warfare. We're not from here, folks. In heaven, they do it differently. And you as an ambassador better do it the way heaven does it, or you're not a good ambassador. If you go into an embassy in Washington, when you go into an embassy of a foreign land, when you go into an embassy, what do you see? A lot of American stuff? No. You see stuff from their native land. If you're going to be an ambassador for God, you have got to bring peace and joy and love, and you got to bring heaven down. Don't become like the natives. You're not from here. You represent him and heaven. Anticipate prosperity and anticipate having peace with everyone. And then number five, and this is the context of this verse. After God says, seek the welfare of this nation, he says here in verse number 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for your wholeness. They're not plans for evil. It's to give you a future and a hope. Then he says this. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. God's sovereign plan, you must know what it is, because when it happens, you must accept it. You must know that it has happened, and you must come into that place where you're not fighting against it, but you are accepting it. Because here's the problem. It says here, then, meaning once you know that this is me, once you know I have planned this, once you know this is not about evil, but it's about good, it's about a future, then, when you accept this, then heaven will be open to you. But here's the problem, and here's the key to this verse. If you do not accept your lot in life, if you don't accept the problems that you have as being from God, if you begin to fight against them, even though you know they're God's will, there's a price to be paid. What it says here is that once you do know it's God's will and you do accept it, it says here, I will restore your fortunes. The minute you come to the place where you say, okay, God, you're punishing me, you're sending me into a place, but it's not as bad as it could be, and I receive it as your sovereignty for my life, and I'm going to make the most out of it, and it's going to be good. God says, good, you got it now, you're in sync with heaven, now I'm going to begin restoring to you everything that was taken away from you. But what if you decide to fight? What if you decide that no one's going to take anything from me, that I'm going to keep on going after it, whole lock, stock, and barrel, and no one's going to make me a fool, and I'm going to make sure I get revenge, and I'm going to make sure that this turns out in my favor, and I know how to manipulate and control and politically maneuver myself in such a way where I can make my will happen. Let me just tell you what's going to happen here. Because here's what Jeremiah says to the people that decide not to submit to God's plan. Look, here it is, verse 15. Because you have said, the Lord raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Meaning, people are speaking to us and telling us that we should resist this and it's going to be over shortly. Here's what Jeremiah says. Thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David and concerning all the people who dwell in this city. Now he's talking to Jerusalem and he's talking about people who did not go into captivity. He's talking about people who resisted the captivity. Here's what he says. Your kinsmen who did not go out with you into exile. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Behold, I am sending upon you sword, famine, pestilence. I am going to make you like a vile fig, too rotten to be eaten. I will pursue you with sword and famine and pestilence. I will make you a horror to all the kingdoms. I will make you a curse, a terror, a hissing, a reproach to all nations where I've driven you. Why? Because they did not pay attention to my word, declares the Lord, that I persistently sent to you by my servants, the prophets, but you would not listen, declares the Lord. Now remember, he's writing this letter to people who have gone into captivity, people who have submitted, and so he says, this is a little like Elijah, he says, I want you to know who's right and who's wrong in this matter, so here's my sign to you. Here's what he says, verse 20. He says, you are in exile, hear the word of the Lord. I sent you from Jerusalem to Babylon, thus says the Lord of hosts of Israel. Now concerning, and he names two prophets. He names Ahab and Zedekiah. And he says to them, who are prophesying lies to you in my name, behold, I will deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they will be struck down before your eyes. In other words, here's a sign unto you. If you want to know whether I have the word of the Lord or they have the word of the Lord, both of those guys who are telling you it's going to be a short stint, they're both going to die.
The Lord is always going to give us oppressors. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. The Lord is always going to allow things in our life that we don't like. But let me just say this. Once you know that God is sovereign and He is allowing things in your life for a purpose, you better be careful. You better be careful. Because if God has sent even Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take you into captivity and you want to fight, you better be careful. Anticipate in this new year God's wisdom. Anticipate in this year revelation, prosperity, peace, God's sovereignty, and finally God's restoration. Because what He would tell you is this, that even though your sin brought this upon you, once you get it, once you sync up with heaven, once you say, God, your will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I asked you for my daily bread and you gave me my daily bread, and my daily bread just happens to be bitter. But I will eat the bitter bread. You've given me bread and it's a bread that I don't like, but because you have served it to me and I've asked for it, I will eat this bread. I will partake of this cup. It is your will, and it is good. Once you do that, even if your sin caused all these terrible things to come upon you, the Bible says God will restore every single last bit of what was taken from you. Even the things that were taken from you because of your sinfulness will be restored to you. God will give you back everything. The greater question is, will you live a life of surrender? Surrender to His will. Surrender to His purposes. Surrender. Surrender. The greatest message I could give to you today is this. If you want all six of those things to happen, wisdom, revelation, prosperity, peace, sovereignty, and restoration, live a life in which you're every day surrender to His will. Not my will, but thine be done, is what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there be another way, let this cup pass over me. But if there's no other way, Lord, let me drink this cup. Surrender. The cross is all about surrender. You can anticipate a great year if you will live a life of surrender. God is in control. How many people believe God is in control? When I surrender to God, there is no foe that I could possibly have. The Bible says, greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. The thing I don't want to do is be fighting against His sovereignty. But if I know I'm on His side, then I can relax and surrender. Is it easy to surrender? Just throw up your hands. Is that so hard? Throw up your hands and say, I give up. Is that so hard? For some reason it is. But I want you to raise the white flag.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.